D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick will be joining us soon. He has landed back in Nashville. It's been a couple of weeks since we've actually laid eyes on Willie Donick. The Predators have landed back in Nashville after their long road trip, so once Willie gets through customs, he'll be here, and we can't wait to see him. We hope you are having a wonderful start to your Wednesday, a beautiful, beautiful day in our fair city. Derek, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful, man. I love the new introduction.
I know.
The intro, man. I like it.
I'm fired up.
Absolutely. Who wouldn't be?
It captured my essence. I am a nerd, and I like numbers.
There you go. The two things,
the two things I love.
About Adam.
I mean, I like to think that I contain multitudes.
Oh, you do. You do. But we all have that, like, one or two things that people sort of, everybody recognizes. And
that
those two things are?
That is true. Yeah. That is true. So we are going to start today's program by talking about the seismic news in the NFL yesterday, which broke during our program. The Baltimore Ravens firing John Harbaugh after 18 seasons. You don't see that type of longevity in coaching in professional sports much anymore. 18 seasons for John Harbaugh with the Baltimore Ravens, but now he is on the market. And there was a report yesterday from Adam Schefter that within 45 minutes of the news breaking that Harbaugh was being let go by the Ravens, Harbaugh's agent received calls from seven teams, which means that a team that has a head coach even called Harbaugh's agent. And we know that the Tennessee Titans have a head coaching vacancy, and I saw it on the text line. I know a lot of you are excited. You want the Titans to go after John Harbaugh. Do whatever it takes to get John Harbaugh. And for what it's worth, I was looking at the betting odds, Derek, for John Harbaugh's next team. The New York Giants are the betting favorite at minus 150 on DraftKings. Those odds shortened from plus 150 as of Wednesday morning. By the way, the Titans are at plus 800 on the board for being the landing spot for John Harbaugh. The Raiders at plus 450, the Falcons at plus 650, the Titans and Cardinals at plus 800 each, but the Giants are the betting favorite. And again, sidebar, if you are someone who bets on who the next coach of a team is going to be, put your phone down. Just put it down, okay? Put it down. But anyway, until I hear otherwise that John Harbaugh is uninterested in the Tennessee Titans, we are going to talk about this. And we are in a unique position on this program to discuss this very topic because there is only one man on air in the city of Nashville who is intimately familiar with John Harbaugh, and that is Derek Mason. Derek Mason played three seasons for John Harbaugh, Harbaugh's first three seasons in Baltimore, 2008, 2009, and 2010. So this is how we are going to start the show today. I tasked Derek with coming up with a pros and cons list of the Titans hiring John Harbaugh. As I just said, this man to my right played three seasons for the hottest coaching candidate on the market. So I said to Derek, I want your pros of John Harbaugh, and it can be on the field, it can be in the meeting rooms, it can be in the locker room, whatever. I want your pros and I want your cons and how the Titans could benefit from having John Harbaugh as their coach. So, Derek, let's start with the positives.
Yes.
The pros of John Harbaugh.
Yeah, because the cons may not be too long. but listen, in, you know, playing for Coach Harbaugh, I got to understand who he is as a person, my 3 years there as a coach. And I think what you're going to get from him, first let's go to, you know, the numbers. He has six AFC titles, AFC North titles. He's won over 193 games, 13 in the postseason. He has success with two different quarterbacks in two different styles, well, really three, because they changed Roman from Monken. But he did it with, you know, Cam Cam and Joe Flacco. Was Cameron still the offensive coordinator when he went to Super Bowl?
I'll have to look.
He may have been. But he did it. They did it with different iterations of quarterbacks, of offensive play callers, and frankly of teams and the makeup of a team. He's been able to do that, which means he's adaptable to a situation, and he's found himself successful in those situations. He's very demanding. That is. He don't yell, at least not in the media. He don't yell and scream, but he is demanding. He's combative when he needs to be combative to try to get the best out of the player. He and I went at it plenty of times on the practice field, just verbally going back and forth. That's because there was a standard and there was a demand on both sides from the players and from the head coaches. So that is what you're going to get. You're going to get a guy that holds players accountable, a guy that works well with management. There's a reason why they've had success at Baltimore, and it's because everybody works together. That's something else that Borgonzi talked about, connectivity. How does the head coach connect everybody together? Well, John Harbaugh has a history, a pedigree of doing that. Not just him, but his brother and his dad. So the pedigree is there. So he's a connector of people within the building. That's evident on being in Baltimore for 18 years. So, and he understands what it takes to win football games. He's highly respected, not just in coaching circles, but I think in GM circles, in owner circles, as well as players, the players that played for him. I think they respect, even when he was a special teams coach. And that's another reason. He's been through the grind. He understands how it is to work your way up and maintain that level of consistency and maintain that level of focus. Again, he inherited a team that had talent. We had talent. But the culture was a little rocky. Not said it was bad, but it was just they were starting to sort of get away from the identity and the culture of what had won them a championship in 99. Just a tad bit. And the message may have been getting stale. He came in and took that veteran team with the young quarterback, and he led us to the AFC championship game. That's John Harbaugh. And he did it again in another iteration of the Baltimore Ravens. So he has the history. He has the pedigree. He knows and understands what it looks like. And that one thing that he's looking for, Borgonzi, connectivity, he can do that. And he's demanding. He's an alpha guy, but he doesn't scream and yell, again, at least not in the media. Now, when we're in practice, yeah, he'll go at it with you. But the players, I'm not going to say, you know, John was for everybody. You know, it took me a quick minute to kind of get used to it, but I was used to Saban. So it was like, if I can get through Saban, I can get through anybody, because Saban was hard, you know, and rightfully so. So that would be an ideal move for the Titans. Now, would he want to come here? That's a different story.
So The Athletic just published a story ranking John Harbaugh's coaching fits from the least to the most desirable, with six being the least and one being the most. The Titans are at number four on the list, and here is what The Athletic wrote. Quote, "The Titans have their quarterback in 2025, number one pick Cam Ward, and that's about it. Any potential hire should take pause with the Titans ownership and its messy divorce from head coach Mike Vrabel last year. Now Vrabel is a coach of the year candidate in New England. Owner Amy Adams Strunk announced another restructuring of the front office this week, and the roster itself needs an overhaul. Perhaps Harbaugh would be given the keys to build his team within his vision, but that might be a longer process than he desires."
Well, listen, the Titans, yeah. Every team that is looking for a head coach, they're looking for a head coach not because their coach was winning. It's because their coach was losing. The team was losing. So every team has their warts. I get it. Some teams have more warts than others. But maybe in this phase of his career, he doesn't mind the warts. He doesn't mind working through them. You know, he doesn't mind, you know, having that challenge of building a team with a young quarterback and not many, you know, guys that are top flight guys. Maybe that's alluring to him, the process, working through it. You know, that's what we would preach, you know, the process and working through things and not skipping steps. That's what he preached. So maybe, you know, one of these jobs, and we're talking about the Titans job in particular, whereas people may see it as a, nope, you don't want that job. But he may see it as, yeah, I want that challenge. And I think I'm up for that challenge.
So let's go back to that one line that I just read from The Athletic. Perhaps Harbaugh would be given the keys to build his team within his vision. Mike Borgonzi is about to be a second-year general manager, although he was just really bestowed the title of GM, as Amy Adams Strunk said, quote-unquote, in the most traditional sense. But he is entering his second season as Titans general manager. The Baltimore Ravens have had two general managers in their history, Ozzie Newsome and Eric DaCosta, long-tenured, well-respected GMs. So I'm curious about the aspect of Harbaugh going from working with Newsome and DaCosta to working with Borgonzi. How would that partnership work? Would Harbaugh's pedigree, his resume, require the Titans to grant him more say in matters of personnel, although they just gave that power to Mike Borgonzi?
I don't think that, in my opinion, I don't think that would be an issue. Because from my understanding in Baltimore, the GM was a GM in its traditional form. You consult it with your coaches, find out what they need, what the team needs, and you go out there and your scouts do their job and they bring back the best possible player, and that coach is tasked to coach them and develop them. That's been the model. Not to say that John didn't have no say. I'm sure he did have some say. But they understood the hierarchy in Baltimore. Teams with success understands hierarchy. Baltimore had success. New England had success. They're having success now. Kansas City. On and on. Pittsburgh. Teams that have a hierarchy. And not the hierarchy in the sense of I'm over you, so you better do what I say. It's a hierarchy in understanding we are all good at something. So let us all be great at our jobs that are tasked to us, and let's work together. But we understand how, you know, you do your job with coaching, and I'm going to go out and get the players. We discuss on what type of player we want, even though that should be a part of the interview. You know, what type of player are you looking for? Trevor said it yesterday. It's not as much as with a guy like Harbaugh anyway. It's not as much as the Titans are interviewing him, because they are. It's about now him interviewing them and asking them questions. So, I mean, look, if John chooses to come here, I think two things has to happen, or at least try. One, he has to be assured that, you know, everybody is going in the same direction, that there's no dissension amongst the ranks, that, you know, what I used to hear about the Titans isn't what it is. And I think that's why, you know, they came together and say, listen, we have to have a visible structure here. We have to, because the next coach we're bringing in, we can't do it like we did last time. We can't. Well, who's making a call? I don't know. We got to collaborate with everybody. No, the coach that we're bringing in now, he has to understand and see that this is a capable, functional, highly functional organization. And that's where we're headed. So to me, why not for John Harbaugh? Why not? I don't think he'll have a problem with working with Borgonzi, working with Amy, or working with Brinker. I don't think he would have a problem with that. If it's what's best for the team, then I think he will do it. You don't last 18 years at a place because you're trying to go against the grain every time. You find a common ground and you work amongst one another for the greater good.
Joey from Bellevue says, Nashville needs D-Mace to call Harbaugh and recruit him.
Well, I wish you would come here, man. It is. But that's the second thing. And I know I'm from sort of the Barry school of thought that don't come here to retire. Come here to win championships. Don't come here because it's a great city. Yeah, it's good. It's a nice city. But don't come here because of that. Come here because you want to win championships. So that's my frame of thought. But they need to sell this city on him really, really hard. Like, so hard. And they need to sell it to his wife. Don't sell it to him as much, but sell it to his wife. That's who they need to sell it to. And bring out all them bells and whistles if that is the coach that you want to be on your sideline come 2026.
Jason from Mount Juliet on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, with all the current coaching openings, the Titans are on par as far as GM goes. There's no opening with a long-tenured GM. It's going to come down to personality fit.
I think it will. I think it made things – it was sort of like a fly in the ointment when John Harbaugh, even though people kind of sort of speculated that he was going to, that he and the Baltimore Ravens were going to decide to part ways, but he's like still the fly in the ointment, you know, because before John Harbaugh, you know, got fired yesterday, it was, well, is it Stefanski now? Is it this guy? Well, now the flying ointment, now what you going to do? Because it's right now it's John Harbaugh across the board.
As I said at the start of the show, there was a report yesterday from Adam Schefter. He said within 45 minutes of the news breaking, 7 teams called Harbaugh's agent asking for, you know, putting out feelers. There were only 6 other openings, which means a team that has a head coach right now called Harbaugh's agent. That's how highly sought after he is. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction all show long. Your thoughts on the fit of John Harbaugh and the Tennessee Titans. The number one coach on the board immediately after the Baltimore Ravens parted ways with him yesterday after 18 seasons. Coming up next, we heard the pros from Derek Mason on John Harbaugh. We're going to hear the cons now. And again, he is intimately familiar, Derek Mason is, with John Harbaugh. Played 3 seasons for John Harbaugh. So he knows. What are the cons of John Harbaugh? Derek will tell us next. 615-737-1025. Tonight, big one at Memorial Gym. Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on Alabama. 8 p.m. tip-off. Pre-game show starts at 7:30 right here on 102.5 The Game.
We didn't really ask ourselves the question. Does he really deserve
a different conversation?
A bunch of people calling up, acting like he's some savior? Because they ain't seeing him in Baltimore. You yourself on the record just a few minutes ago. Didn't he say, yo, it's been going on for a few years. Yeah, they got questions about it. And what did they say? Even though X's and O's, the man knows what he's doing. He's a special teams dude that got the head coach job in 2008. And soared and exceeded, and we got mad respect for that. But then since that time, one disappointment after another. We bring up double-digit losses more than anybody in the league. We bring up the absence of a Super Bowl appearance more than anybody else. We're going and raving about other coaches that have won. But the minute they struggle, even though they won more recently than he has, we ready to hold them accountable.
Nobody get in my ear about 90.
Come on now. So,
don't tell me not to be in my ear. Go ahead.
So what I'm saying is, when that kind of stuff is happening, I'm simply making the point. Why are we talking like it's automatic? How can you not grab him? Wait a minute.
That was Stephen A. Smith on First Take this morning.
That kid, maybe he just says things.
He ain't kinda, a kid. He's a grown man.
I know, but still the kid. I mean, maybe he just says things to get sort of like, you know how you just sometimes you like to throw a grenade in there.
It worked on you. Yeah, you're a little agitated right now.
And everybody goes. So I just don't, you know, listen, Harbaugh, again, there are cons with Harbaugh. But again, people bring up, oh, they always got the double-digit losses. in the regular season. But I guarantee you, in majority of their double-digit losses, they were a playoff team. That's what people are not mentioning. Oh, double-digit loss. So who gives a damn? At the end of the day, were they in the playoffs? Absolutely, yes, more times than not. Okay? The games that he's won. The games that he's won on the road in the playoffs. Those are the things that I'm looking at. Sometimes, just sometimes, the place you've been at so long, everything just becomes mundane. And the message isn't hitting the way it used to hit no more. The players aren't the same like they used to be even from a year ago. Things just isn't working out for these two individuals. So what do you do? Doesn't mean that either are less attractive. It just means that we've ran our course. Now it's time to part ways. Stephen A. act like that's something that can't happen. As many times, and I think it was maybe on two occasions, the fan base wanted him fired. They cheered for him and loved him. The games he won. And let's just say this. Yes, the Harbaugh, after the Super Bowl, the Harbaugh playoff run hasn't been what they expected. It's been disappointing.
In his first 5 years, the Ravens were 9-4 in the playoffs, 4-2 in one-score games. Over the past 13 years, 4-7 in the playoffs, 1-5 in one-score games.
So they didn't – listen, he didn't always, you know, close the deal. I get it. So he has – there are some warts. But let's not forget, did 2 years ago in Kansas City, did he fumble the football? Huh? They would have been up. They would have been up, and their defense is playing good. Did he fumble the football? Did he throw an interception? No. Love Lamar, but Lamar didn't play well. Love Zay Flowers, but he cost them. He was a part of costing them that game by the fumble. And I know those dudes regret it because they're competitors. Okay, let's fast forward. The next year or the year, 2 years later, was it his fault that Andrews fumbled? The year before that, Andrews fumbled. No, I think that was the year he fumbled and he dropped the pass in the end zone. Was that John Harbaugh's? Yeah, I can understand y'all saying that, okay, when they were up versus New England, he didn't get, Derrick Henry didn't run the ball with the last 10 minutes of the game. Well, when they kicked it back to New England, they had the lead. And when New England scored and took up most of the clock, they had to pass. Derrick Henry couldn't be a big factor in the game like he wanted him to. Those are the little things that people fail to mention. And I understand. I get it. He who wears the crown is heaviest on the head, something like that. You know what I mean, people. But it's going to happen.
In 2022, the Ravens were tied at 17 in a wild card game in Cincinnati. Tyler Huntley fumbled on third and goal. Sam Hubbard recovered and returned at 98 yards.
And I was
touchdown.
Watching that game. I was okay. Sitting there watching
so
that
game. So keep that in mind. Yeah. In 2023, Zay Flowers fumbles at the goal line on the first play of the fourth quarter. Chiefs go on to win 17-10. Of course, last season, Mark Andrews drops a two-point attempt with a minute 33 left. That would have tied the divisional playoff game in Buffalo. And you saw how the game ended the other night with a rookie kicker missing a field goal at the buzzer. Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com and welcome in T-Mac. T-Mac, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have a question. Am I missing something as far as why do people think we don't have a shot at John Harbaugh? Like why are people saying that? I don't understand, like, you know, it's just like you see a girl that you think is out of your league. Like, you don't just be like, oh, well, I don't have a shot with it, so I'm not even going to ask. No, you man up, build up the guts, and go over there and ask, right? So I just want to know, like, why are people saying that we don't have a shot at John Harbaugh?
Thank you for the call, T-Mac. I think some of the reasons, and Derek, you tell me if you agree or disagree. I think some of the reasons are, one, the upheaval in the front office over the past several years, not just in the front office, at coach as well. A lot of turnover in Tennessee over the past few years. John Robinson, Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, Brian Callahan, the whole Chad Brinker thing, Mike Borgonzi now. There's been a lot of upheaval in important positions. And I also think it's, does John Harbaugh want a job where he is closer to winning sooner, or does he want to be a part of building something back up? The Titans probably are not in the category of, hey, he comes there, they're going to start winning. I know that there are a lot of worst to first stories in the NFL. They happen almost every year. But I think to answer T-Mac's question, there is also a lack of top-level players on this team. Mm-hmm. So the lack of top-level players, the insane amount of turnover in the front office and the coaching staff in recent years, I think those combine to make – and we're going to talk about this a little bit later. I think those things combine to make the Titans less attractive than some of the other landing spots.
Yeah, and it just – it depends on, you know, what that coach – and how that coach sees his vision working in regards to the team there. Here, you know, when you don't, when the cabinet is bare, it's hard to sort of get a team or a new coach to, or even a fan base to, you know, holistically buy into what's going on. That's why, you know, it may not, you gotta, I think you gotta sell the head coach, whoever it may be, on, you know, your two pillars right now, and that's Cam and that's Simmons. You gotta sell them hard on what can be built around them. Look at the rookies and what they did last year, meaning this past season. Look at how they develop. You got a left guard over here that's coming into his own. You got a right tackle that needs some work. You have an offensive line that has some veteranness to it. They just need some more, you know, they need to stay healthy, for one. That's first and foremost. But there are things that you have. But there are things also that you don't have. But the good part about it is that we have the money to shop. We can go shop for grocery. Now, we're going to be smart in shopping for our grocery, but we have the money to go shop for grocery. And we think we have a high enough pick that if we choose to move out of it, we can accumulate more and still get the guy that we all want.
John Harbaugh has been linked to the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this during the regular season, because the Giants made a coaching change and the Titans made a coaching change. Both teams were mid-season firings, with Brian Daboll being fired by the Giants and you know, Brian Callahan. You look at the Giants. They've got young building blocks. They've got Jackson Dart. They've got Malik Nabers. They've got Cam Scadaboo. They've got Abdul Carter, all of whom are on rookie contracts. Right? Mm-hmm. That's attractive. I don't know what the Giants cap situation is, but you've got four young potential difference makers on your rookie contracts. And Derek, we were talking about this off air yesterday. You were like, why would Harbaugh want to go to New York? That's a pressure cooker. I mean, mm-hmm. I think he could handle it. You know he could handle it. Mm-hmm. But some people love that.
Yeah.
The Giants are an historic franchise. Now, there are plenty of questions about their GM, Joe Shane, who's going to be sticking around. But I think that's, for example, why the Giants, for example, and we'll talk about the attractiveness of all these jobs, why the Giants may be more attractive to Harbaugh than the Titans, because you just said our building blocks are Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons, while the Giants can say our building blocks are Jackson Dart, Malik Nabers, Cam Scadaboo, Abdul Carter. Sounds better on paper, but we'll see. Let's go to our friend Mark in Nashville on our phone. Mark, excuse me. Thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, Adam, D-Mace? How y'all doing, man?
We're good, Mark.
We're good.
Hey, by the way, Adam, great game last night, Duke and Louisville. Yeah, Duke looked pretty good, Adam.
In the second half, asterisk.
Yes. First
in
half,
the second
yeah,
half.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Michigan, D-Mace, your Michigan State Spartans look pretty good, too,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, so, but we lost to Nebraska, so there you go.
Oh, yeah, Fred Hoiberg, so up and comer, yeah, I understand. Adam, you did leave out Brian Burns. They do have New York Giants. They do have a great squad, man. I'm not going to say great, but a good squad. I think Harbaugh would look at that picture a little stronger. I don't think Joe Sheen will be around if he did take that job, because I think they would give him that power to bring in who he would want to work for. And that is a pressure cooking job. But my thing is, D-Mace, Adam, it doesn't matter who the Titans pick as coach. And I heard y'all talking a minute ago about all the turnover they had, all the people that they had to replace, which is not good. Are they willing to give this next coach a chance to come in there, build this squad? Because it's not going to be pretty at first. It's going to be a little ugly for them, too, because you don't have the players in place that you need to have to get this squad to where they need to get to. So are the Titans going to be patient enough to give this coach more than a year or two before they talk about firing him? Because they got to get it right this time. And even if they do get it right, you're still going to have time to build the Titans up to where they need to get to. But that's all I got to say today, man. Y'all have a good day, Adam, D-Mace. See y'all later.
Thank you, Mark. Send our love to Sugar Free.
Exactly.
Mark, please do.
Listen, the Giants, and I follow the Giants much of any. Saw a few games here and there. But it's not like I'm sitting here a diehard Giant fan and we talk about the Giants all day. But it's not like the Giants is ripping up everything either. It's not like this squad that they've had, which, you know, some of these players were here last year before Jackson Dart got there. And this team still didn't do much of anything. There's a reason why they're drafting right around the same area they drafted last year, as is the Titans. So it's, well, which one is the worst? Because both of them are bad. I would say this. Which team is closer to change in management? Which team is closer to a change
between the Giants and Titans?
Exactly.
The Giants.
Exactly. Absolutely. So do you want, as a head coach, to go in with this guy and then if it doesn't quite work out, now they're going to be looking to hire another guy? Do I want to go there? And listen, that may be for a coach where he may think, okay, and I don't think outside of John Harbaugh, I don't think any other coach would have the power to try to influence the pick on the GM. I don't think maybe McCarthy, maybe, but the other ones, no. But unless that's something that, you know, Coach Harbaugh don't mind doing, but he's never experienced that. Because even the sort of, you know, passing from one GM to the other was already set in motion. In Baltimore, with Ozzie and then DaCosta, it was already set in motion. They already had a relationship. So is there a possibility that he wouldn't want to go through a 2027 season with a new GM?
615-737-1025 will continue to take your thoughts on John Harbaugh and his potential fit with the Tennessee Titans. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will get to the cons of John Harbaugh. You've heard the pros from Derek Mason. We'll get to the cons coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Six job openings right now around the league, Mike. Why, in your opinion, is this job an attractive one for prospective candidates?
Because I think we have some really good people in the building, people that are respected throughout the league, in the front office here. I think we have a young rookie quarterback that is ascending. Obviously, be a second year player next year. I think we have a young nucleus of players that you can build on here, that have started to kind of build this culture the way we want it to be. Jeff Simmons. I mean, who wouldn't want to coach Jeff Simmons on defense? You know, we have the city of Nashville, you know, really, I mean, it's a great place to live. And we have a new stadium coming. So there's a lot of really good positive things to come here. But the first thing is the people in the building. We have, you know, a lot of experience here throughout the building, a lot of good people. And we have, you know, support from our ownership group, and Amy supports us in everything that we do here. So, yeah, those are really the reasons why I think, you know, this will be a really attractive place for a coach.
That was Titans GM Mike Borgonzi yesterday pitching the Titans and the city of Nashville to potential head coaching candidates. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Be listening at the end of the segment because I have a pair of tickets to give away to see Belmont women's basketball take on Drake at the Curb Event Center on Friday. Tip off at 6:30. So if you want those tickets, be listening for the cue to call at the end of this segment. Okay, Derek, earlier you laid out the pros of John Harbaugh as coach. I want to hear the cons. What's not to like?
And there's not, again, it's you like him as a person, as a family man, as an ambassador to the NFL, you know, and all the great things that he's done, you know, as the coach of the Baltimore Ravens. So there's not many cons when talking about John, but, you know, no one's squeaky clean. So people, what do they go to? Well, recent playoff disappointments. Listen, he was tasked at getting two iterations of a franchise to a Super Bowl. He got one to a Super Bowl by way of defense, and Joe Flacco had a hell of a run in the playoffs. And then the second iteration was supposed to be via the quarterback. And for whatever reason, and it's not solely his fault, it's just the team. They were not able to meet those expectations. On paper, you ask many around, Baltimore, they were a top two or three roster in the National Football League. Now, I know Lamar has missed games and everything else, even throughout his period of becoming the starting quarterback, I think in 2018, somewhere around there. But this team has missed the mark when they are expected, even in that building, when they are expected to win or get to the Super Bowl. You have a two-time, should have been three-time MVP on your team. You have a elite receiver. You have two elite tight ends. You have an offensive line that is good. You have a Hall of Fame running back. And even before he became running back. But now you have a Hall of Fame running back. The best runner I've seen of the football in the last 10, 15 years. And then your defense, yeah, you had to retool, but you still had players. You still had one of the best corners in the National Football League. You still had one of the best inside backers, middle backers in the National Football League. You still had one of the best edge rushers in the National Football League. You still had the best safety in the National Football League. So with all of this talent on your team, and that's this topic about, that's talking about elite players. You had a lot of good players. So you've missed the mark. You've been disappointing in recent history with the Baltimore Ravens. And then as I said, sometimes, you know, and that's why I said what I said about Stephen A. It's like sometimes the message just don't hit the way it used to. And it happens. And it happened with him before, and he was able to fix it, and off they went with Lamar Jackson. Well, maybe now there's no more, let's see if this worked. Maybe we're still too great. We're a great organization, and I'm a great coach, but maybe we need to be great apart. So, yes, his recent disappointment. The message did get stale, possibly, in the locker room. The coordinator, really this year, because this defense, last year, they dealt with injuries, but this year, this defense looked bad at times. Like, they look really bad. So, did he, you know, hire the right guy as the defensive coordinator when McDonald went to Seattle. So, and then he's not a sort of, because everybody, what is everybody looking for? That fresh, new head coach, that young, you know, young, innovative offensive mind. Well, he's not that. He's older. He's a little long in the tooth. You know, he's been through some things. He may not have that spring that he used to. Man, John used to go at it. He run. You see him run out. Maybe I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe that isn't there quite yet anymore. But maybe it's just you didn't see it because the environment wasn't conducive for either party anymore. You know, so you maybe didn't see that spring. He looked like a tired man. And in my personal and humble opinion, I think you should take a year off. I think you will get the best John Harbaugh after a year out of the game. But outside of that, I don't think there's many cons to this. I think, again, he works well with the people in the building because I've seen it. Is he demanding? Yes, he's demanding. Is he fair? Yes, he's fair. So there's not many, there's not many sort of cons that I have, you know. And Stephen A. did say, you know, which he was right, it's not about X's and O's. It's not about really him adapting because he's been able to adapt. And he knows X's and O's. His time as a special teams coordinator, you touch and feel everybody on the team, all the players. You got to design scheme and everything. So he understands that. But over here, maybe it got a little stale. But it doesn't mean that it will be the same somewhere else. You know, they thought that Andy leaving Seattle, I'm leaving Philadelphia, that, oh, he wasn't going to have the same success. What has he done? He's won 3 Super Bowls. So it can happen.
Our resident Ravens fan, David James, has a comment on John Harbaugh.
So, for starters, I'm coming from this as a fan perspective, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think one con that I would think of was he's too loyal sometimes. I think that's something with the Harbaughs is that they're way too loyal, which I think that's good as well. I think that's a good thing as well, but it can be a detrimental to you because of Orr, who, again, used to play for the Ravens. He was on the staff, and you gave him a little bit too much power in becoming a defensive coordinator when he wasn't probably ready just yet. And then also with Greg Roman, after 2019, his message got stale. His offensive philosophy got stale. He would never change it up. And so I think that's kind of like the main problem that Ravens fans had was it was a little, he got too loyal and he would not want to shake things up, which again is the reason why he got fired is he wouldn't consider maybe making a change at OC with Todd Monken. And I think that's my only thing I would say is like as a con, because everything else, you're right. He's an incredible coach, but maybe just a little too loyal, and I think that's just a horrible way anyways.
Ben in Cumberland City on our text line says, if Borgonzi is worth anything, he will bring Harbaugh here. I think Borgonzi has to do more because of the image of Amy Adams Strunk in Nashville. If a GM can't convince the best head coach with a future Hall of Famer at quarterback, then that's an indictment on GM. Is Ben suggesting that Cam Ward is a future Hall of Famer at quarterback? Oh, convince the best head coach with a future Hall of Famer at quarterback, meaning Lamar Jackson? Meaning Cam Ward? I don't know, Ben.
Is he meaning John Harbaugh is a potential Hall of Famer coach?
He is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Perhaps. And one texter asked if the Titans have the money to hire.
Yeah, they got the money.
John Harbaugh. Yeah. All of these owners have
the money. I mean, all
of them
got the money to pay it.
They've got enough money in their.
They're worth billions.
This ain't like paying. You know, your money. I don't think the money you pay the players or the money you pay the coach comes out of the same pool.
Like, you know how when you go in your car and you're about to put a drink in your cup holder and you feel around and there's like a quarter in there and you're like, yeah, a quarter. This is awesome. These owners have like $100 bills stuffed in their center consoles. So, yes, they have.
They have the money to pay. They have the money to hire any coach they want.
Yes. The other thing, too, we did talk about this a little bit yesterday, is the Lamar Jackson element of it. Again, I'm watching from afar. But it always felt, maybe always is too strong, but it felt somewhat frequently that there were questions about their working relationship. And look, Lamar Jackson played outstanding football under John Harbaugh. And I know, as you said, Derek, that coaches and players aren't going to get along all the time. But I'm wondering about that element when it comes to Cam Ward.
Again, I don't necessarily know, like, how intimate their relationship, you know, meaning Harbaugh and Jackson, was. Now, it seemed to have been, especially when there was great. He always had his back, meaning Lamar, and Lamar always had Harbaugh's back. So it seemed, at least on the surface, everything was fine. But that's what happens when you win. Some things are tolerable in winning. But, you know, Shannon Sharp said it best. He said, you ain't going to tolerate nothing in a loss that you ain't going to tolerate in a win. Or you ain't going to tolerate nothing in a win that you're going to tolerate in a loss. So if I don't tolerate it in a loss, I'm not going to tolerate it in a win either. And, you know, maybe some of that was being tolerated on both sides. You know, Lamar with the head coach with Lamar. But ultimately, it ran its course. It did. And in this business, when you have a two-time, should-have-been three-time MVP underneath center, and you have to make a decision between your head coach that has been there for 18 years and your young, not even 30-year-old quarterback, elite quarterback, who you going to choose? Don't even answer that. I know you're going to choose the quarterback. It was a rhetorical question. But, and I think that was the position that Bisciotti was in. Like, listen, he and DaCosta, like, the message, it's not hitting like it used to. The team just doesn't, they're not responding, you know, the way they need to. That's why Billick ended up getting fired, because they felt the team wasn't responding anymore to the things that were going on.
Chase from White Bluff says, Harbaugh won't make a decision until these playoffs are over. That Buffalo job has a great chance of being the best job out there. I really do think it's Super Bowl or bust for Sean McDermott this year.
Whoa, if they get put out in the first round, if they get put out this weekend, that would be, Buffalo would be a wasp in ointment if they were to fire their coach.
Not a fly?
Not a fly. It'd be bigger than that. Because okay. Now, who wouldn't take the Buffalo? It's like, who, everybody would be trying to get the Buffalo job because they have everything that you want.
Buffalo is at Jacksonville
yes.
on Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
So I guess we'll have to be watching that closely. 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on John Harbaugh and the Titans coaching search. I haven't seen any text or calls today stumping for Jason Garrett. Come on, guys.
Who doesn't want Jason Garrett?
You tried to get his name out there yesterday, man.
Yeah. Jason Garrett, anyone?
Did he send you that check?
Anyone? It hasn't cashed yet. Anyone? I'm just saying. 615-737-1025.
He's got a great smile.
He does have – he's got a made-for-TV smile, which is where he's been for the past few years, on TV. But coming up next, we're going to switch gears. We're going to look at Cam Ward. Now that his rookie season is over, how would we assess it? What grade would we give it? And we are going to do that. We also hope to be joined by Willie Donick. He's going through customs, so they flew in from Edmonton, but they've landed in Nashville, but they have to go through customs, and I assume they let all the players get off the plane first, so he's probably still sitting on the plane. So Willie Donick will be here at some point.
Yeah, at some point.
Yes, been. Hopefully this hour, because we miss him. 615-737-1025. All right, I said I have a giveaway. If you want a pair of tickets to see Belmont women's basketball take on Drake at the Curb Event Center on Friday, tip off at 6:30. Be caller number 2 at 615-737-1025. Caller number 2 will win a pair of tickets to see Belmont women's basketball take on Drake at the Curb Event Center on Friday. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.